You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Mobile Presence, your destination for everything mobile. I'm your host, as always, Peggy Ann Saltz, mobile analyst, tech consultant, senior Forbes writer, and founder of Mobile Grooves. And my guest today is Philip Jackson, Chief Commerce Officer at Rightpoint. And Rightpoint is the company behind the research. And as COO, maybe we just kick off with a few questions here, Philip. First of all, understanding what you do, because your other job, interestingly enough, is to have a great podcast, which you have as well.
That's true. Well, thank you so much, Peggy, for having me on the show. And thank you so much to the listeners for giving us your attention. Yeah, I actually host a number of podcasts myself, one of which is called Future Commerce, where we say it's media for those in retail and e-commerce that are risk takers, because the future isn't built by people that are safe, right? Mm. We have to take risks and we have to stretch ourselves. So we like to think about what the future might look like and how we, if commerce touches everybody and commerce is going to be a vital part of the future, well, that means that we all have a part in shaping that future. And so I've been doing that for 6 years with my co-host, Brian, and it's grown into a nice little community. And it allows us to have the sort of forward thinking type of, thinking cap on that you need, if you will, to write reports like this and conduct the kind of B2B and consumer research that's required to be able to have this kind of point of view.
That is very cool. So you are shaping commerce. I'm excited because I love it when I have movers and shakers, now shapers, on the show. Rightpoint is described as a global experience leader. So it's much more than a digital agency. What actually does Rightpoint do? Let's just be clear about that.
Yeah, well, I think in some ways you could probably, these terms come with a lot of baggage, right? So agency sort of gets a bad rap. Sometimes consultancy gets a bad rap. I think when you're looking to partner with a company that can help you shape what the future of your business is, you sort of need a little bit of both. You need the strategist hat, and then you need the execution side as well. And so we can do both. We do that for some of the most recognizable brands in the world. If you're building the next iteration of your commerce experience, we believe that all companies are experienced companies today, or will have to transform to become one tomorrow. We certainly see that playing out in retail and direct-to-consumer now. More and more companies these days, even B2B SaaS companies, are launching in-house media brand efforts. So to become more experiential is going to be the way that you actually connect with a customer. And in a world where you can click three times and launch an e-commerce website, the barrier to entry is quite low. The way that you differentiate yourself is by experience. And so we help companies of all sizes do that. And we're very proud of the work that we do at Rightpoint.
And you're on the mark, because we are hearing now about experiential commerce, conversational commerce, all types of commerce, because it's all coming together there. It's all coming together there, probably because of the pivotal role of mobile. And you've looked at that in your report, looking at, what does Gen Z, because that's the audience now, they're not just the consumers, they're the buyers, they're the business buyers. Now, in your report, you start off by talking about consumerization of B2B. What do you mean by that?
Yeah. So this piece of research that we're talking about today is titled Consumerization of B2B, And I love myself some subtitles. I don't know if you do, Peggy, but translating consumer mobile behavior into B2B opportunities. And that really is where I think that there's, you know, we're always in the business of trying to spot the arbitrage opportunities, right? Where are the areas that we can have an unfair advantage to you know, have leveraged growth. And leveraged growth sometimes comes with developing new markets and channels and creating, you know, these new channels to, you know, speak directly to a type of consumer that is looking for a, you know, either a new modality for purchase or something that's more, that allows them to get their job done quicker or in a, you know, in a, I would say in a context that's closer to shopping in a way that they're already trained to shop. And what we've had happen over the last 15 years of digital transformation efforts, and if you're listening to the audio version, I'm using air quotes with my fingers, the digital transformation best practice world would have, you know, said that you have these, you know, far-flung investments that are, you know, really not built for anyone, but built to maximize the amount of utility to get you in and out of the app as quick as possible. So B2B purchasing is sort of all-encompassing. It's not very experiential. It's meant to be a utility. It's a tool that you employ to communicate a desire. And now what we see is a little bit of a shift in that desire. And I could give you a little bit of the background about what spurred us to write this report. What we're predicting really is that B2B purchasing in 10 years' time will look a lot more like consumer mobile apps look like today. And if we know that that's where it's going, we can sort of build that out based on what we see today and how Gen Z is interacting with mobile apps today.
I would like to touch upon the idea behind the report because it reminds me of all the thinking that, you know, when people say, well, business professionals do this or business buyers do that. I mean, at the heart of it, they're people too. And you've shown those parallels really strongly in this report. But what inspired you to look into it and underpin that with data?
Yeah. Well, Let's step back for a second, because I think B2B means something different to everybody depending on your context, right? Mm-hmm. When I worked in a small e-commerce startup and we had a B2B purchasing, back end, it was like a curated e-commerce portal. It was for, you know, just for four companies to come in and place POs and those things to go out via EDI, which is, you know, sort of, you know, we were a consumer focused company in the wellness space. So B2B meant one thing to us, which was like a very small pool of customers that wanted to be able to self-service. For an enterprise, that could be something completely different. So I think just putting a finer point on it today, when I say B2B, I believe that there, in this report in particular, I think that there is a type of business buyer that is often overlooked, right? You have the large investments in digital transformation that the big, you know, chocolate and water companies of the world have been building now for 10, 15 years that allow, you know, a plenitude of customers all over the globe to be able to automate their purchasing or to put to shift to digital their purchasing so that it frees up a resource on the account management side. It is very much a, you know, it's often a lift and shift kind of an investment that allows you to scale down the workforce that has to manually touch every account every month to fulfill on a purchase order or to fulfill on some sort of like inventory forecast. So that being said, who's serving the smaller businesses, right? And this is the mm-hmm. the question that we're constantly being asked by these, you know, the longer tail of mid-market and those verging on enterprise is who's serving the convenience store owner who's trying to restock their shelves? Who's serving the small, you know, restaurant chain or regional gas station, right? Who's serving basically the small business buyer? The small business buyer is kind of in the messy middle, I would say. And that small business buyer could be an owner operator, but it could also be someone who is who is in the role of purchasing. They're, you know, a manager on duty. They're busy in the work, right? And so purchasing isn't their only job, which, you know, traditional like B2B portals and manufacturing in particular are these very complex, you know, pieces of software that you have to have training and enablement around and onboarding, right? And so how how does that person who, you know, is typically serviced by someone on a physical route think about your salon owner? Think about, you know, someone who's running, you know, a small trade, industry trade store. How is that person serviced? Well, they're entirely dependent usually on a physical workforce that's coming in on their own schedule, or they're encumbered by having to place these orders either via the phone, or still, believe it or not, you know, having to manually fill out purchase orders and fax them in. This is actually still how business can be done. And so this small, can you believe it? Right.
Yeah.
Or at least in a snapshot of an, you know, with your camera and then emailing it to your contact there. And so what we have seen, in RFP after RFP and our own client work in particular with the likes of, AB InBev or Anheuser-Busch, or some RFPs from some notable, you know, soft drink and bottler, type organizations that are global organizations. What we're seeing is the future of B2B is really servicing that, overlooked, mid-market, you know, buyer that's in the work, busy on their feet doing the job, but also having to fulfill, on replenishing inventory. And so this could be seen as, you know, almost disintermediation of a distributor. That, you know, could be filling this gap, but has been a laggard for digital transformation on its own. And this, you know, one person might be able to say that this is just the next phase of direct to consumer, but your consumer isn't necessarily the end user. Right.
Yeah, it's the business owner who's probably been catapulted into digital through the pandemic and global events. I mean, have you seen that? So when you're talking about serving the messy middle, you know, the mid-sized business, that's been maybe a bit more difficult before, but probably all the more critical now. So that there are opportunities that are coming together. Businesses are digital, and you're telling them about the parallels to mobile and to digital channels, that's all coming together?
Well, I'm going to bring, I like to be self-referential, Peggy, so you'll have to suffer me for just a moment. We wrote a report in early 2021, back in January, called The New Essentials. And and we explored the, you know, all the meanings of essential coming out of a pandemic, certainly, you know, the effects of which still linger today. But you know, when you think about what essential workers went through during the pandemic, you know, you had these sort of high stress jobs that were lightly staffed with lots of barriers between yourself and a customer. I often remark that the first time I went to the grocery store, you know, after the pandemic had begun and lockdowns were in place, you know, I went to the grocery store and I'm trying to talk to a cashier. I have a mask on. She had a mask on. Mm-hmm. There was a, you know, big thick plate of plexiglass between us, and neither of us can really see each other or talk to each other. All those barriers and those layers between us already existed in the digital space for a decade before the pandemic ever happened. That sort of obfuscation between you and your customer has existed in ones and zeros for eternity, right? So this we are actually quite used to having this distance between the customer in digital. We only just saw it physically manifest, you know, during COVID. So when I'm thinking about the what is essential and essential workers, right? These are people who still have the effects of that sort of era now imposed on them in a new world, and they're, you know, they're still understaffed. I don't, you know, check the news. They're still mm-hmm. understaffed, and they're expected to continue to serve actually a whole world that's now coming out of hibernation, who's eager to get back into the swing of life and maybe spend a little more and be outside a little more, but they're having to do a lot more with a lot less. Think about the workforce that, you know, another thing that we work very closely on at Right Point is something not just called customer experience, but employee experience. We believe that a key point of retention for frontline workers is how easy and enjoyable is it for them to do their jobs, right? Mm-hmm. Frontline retail workers often have to bear the brunt of a lot of frustration on the customer side. The last thing they should have to deal with is frustration in the everyday performing of their daily, you know, job duties and tasks. And it shouldn't take, you know, 15 steps just to see if something's in stock. And, you know, the customer demands, by the way, in the digital world, you know, every e-commerce company I've worked for in the past 5 years, or every retailer who's has e-commerce aspirations, they need to get a package to the door within 2 days. Well, why? Because the customer demands it, because that's the experience that they have with Amazon. It's not because you set that expectation with your customer. It's because your customer has had a great experience elsewhere. Believe it or not, the DoorDashes and the Grubhubs and the Ubers of the world have also created that same sort of level of expectation that every single restaurant and every single convenience store and every single big box retailer also has to be able to fulfill on. It's package delivery, right? It's pickup at the curb. And you have a retail frontline who's excused to be a much younger kind of a person who's having to deal with all of these types of modalities of purchase and request, and they're living on their phone in a mobile app to do it. And so when we talk about the consumerization of B2B, it's all of these factors that come into play that we start asking ourselves, where does this lead us? How do we build for the future? And what are the kinds of things we're building for today that kind of hint at where we're going?
And that's what I like about your research, because we have some ideas of those signposts, really exciting. For example, gamified commerce, the importance of that, social media. We do have to go to break right now, Philip, but I think it's a great time to do this because it's a little bit of a cliffhanger, because when we come back, we're going to deep dive into that research and also some takeaways for our audience, because marketing to business buyers, that needs to be an experience as it has been for consumers as well. So listeners, don't go away. We'll be right back after the break.
Mobile Presence, sponsored by CleverTap, a leading engagement and retention platform, will be back after this message.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
And we are back to Mobile Presence. And my guest today, Philip Jackson, Chief Commerce Officer at Rightpoint. And Philip, before the break, we were deep diving into why focus on B2B? What is it? How is it defined? How it's changed and transformed also through the pandemic. Small business is different. Digitization, what people are calling mobile forced instead of mobile first. It's very different. There's a forcing factor. We need to be digital first. And your research shows that. So you've looked at this and you've shown the parallels between consumers and business buyers. Gen Z, they love the experience. They love to multitask. They want to have a commerce experience. Interestingly enough, gamified commerce is really important. So I would imagine that, because gamified is everything. Gen Z is on games. It's the biggest app category. It's what we do with our time. What did you find out about how you bring gamified commerce together to build a relationship with a purchaser?
Sure. When you think about gamification, there's certainly this the first thing that you would need to do to be able to fulfill on any sort of gamification effort would be to have a strategy and an end goal in mind, right? Mm-hmm. The word gamification sort of came out of the social media era, where it was really trying to enhance stickiness. What is the next thing that we want someone to do? It's funny because we've been trying to preach that in CX strategy for the longest time. You know, customer experience is really just understanding what the next step you want your customer to do is. There's so many quick wins here, but you know, really, in our survey, you know, we really just asked where are you spending time right now amongst all of the major shopping apps, and in particular, the thing that stuck out to us was that 46% of respondents felt that being awarded personally, aside from just the business receiving rewards at the end of the day, but also having a personal reward and a personal stake, gives them the opportunity to have a better experience, makes them feel like they're more part of the purchasing experience, especially when they're working with a consumer brand. Again, think about a bottler or distributor in sort of like the soft drink or in the CPG space. There's certainly ways that you could be rewarding that business buyer as well. So
give me an example, Philip. I'm trying to think, points, leaderboards, gamification was always like from the gaming industry. What does that actually look like?
Yeah. I mean, in particular, you've actually hinted on a couple of the user experience or the UX outcomes, for sure. There's all kinds of ways that you can do this. You can do time-based offers. You can, remind them of certain purchasing thresholds that might lead to the next tier of discount. You can show a leaderboard that would show where they rank amongst others in their space.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You can show, how much inventory is left, and allow them to make an offer, right? This creates like sort of an in-game type experience where you're trying to get the best deal for the price, highlighting and maybe even celebrating people who get the best deals, and consistently pop up to the top of the best deals as a purchaser. So not just by volume, but maybe as value realized. These are all ways to, highlight and spotlight even people in their roles that could lead to a genuine sense of community. Like you're behaving with other people in a certain way to try to achieve a certain outcome. And this leads, to, I think more, we would have called it at some point in the past, like stickier, experiences, but, I would say, happier purchaser at the end of the day, which means they're more likely to use, you than, if you're trying to grow share of wallet, there's a lot of places where they could go to try to, engage in this kind of a replenishing relationship, especially in the intended field, especially in retail.
That is very cool. I mean, I know about Be Easy to Do Business With, and now this is Be Fun to Do Business With. Mm-hmm. Encourage me, give me goals, some recognition, as you said, maybe being the buyer that increases value for maybe their company or even for their customer. And you talked about that sense of belonging to a community. And that's another point in your research, because it's about the impact of social media, which is everywhere. So it makes sense that B2B app engagement has to be impacted at some level by that. What are you seeing in your data? What is the, what is the connection between social media conventions and the outcomes for business buyers?
Well, that's such a great point, and I could take up the entire hour probably just talking.
We could
about
just do
that.
A show about that because that was really interesting. But go ahead.
It really could be. So when you talk about social media conventions, I would put a finer point on it. I would say, in particular, there's sort of the endless scrollability of the way that you might engage in social media today. I'm at the midlife crisis in my life. I'm like, I'm on TikTok because I am desperately trying to, pretend like I'm still young. Instagram would have probably been the medium that might come to mind for an instant or for an endless scroll sort of ability. But yeah. Those in consumer experiences, even in social media, are actually starting to reinform the way that we imagine all of UX. Mm-hmm. So if you think about the way that the Nike app works in particular, or the Adidas app works in particular, they are intermingling user-generated content along with shoppability in what feels a lot more like Instagram and a lot less like a Shopify site. Mm-hmm. The paradigm, believe it or not, the paradigm for slice and dice e-commerce goes all the way back to old enterprise software like Endeca, which created what I would call the lingua franca of e-commerce. And the way that we shop online today has really sort of been quanted to death. And a lot of folks, especially those were early adopters of e-commerce, have these large expansive catalogs. But most brands don't have thousands and thousands of SKUs anymore. And so why not prioritize that into a more tactile, more sort of a socially native format, especially in Gen Z? They want to live in the app. They want to open the app. They want to scroll up and up and back and forth. And all of these points of engagement data can lead to analytics investments that allow you to find out like what you can be ruthlessly sort of optimizing and A/B testing still. What product photography is sticky? What causes someone mm-hmm. to scroll back? What are these kinds of sort of nuanced ways that people are engaging in finding interesting copy, interesting posts that are being syndicated from other users in a way that communicates the value of the brand, but also makes it fun and exciting and brings you back and gets your thumb engaged. If you want to go into the long tail, there's other things too. There's, AR and VR type of engagements, in particular, one that we had built for a beverage distributor, kind of linked in with that insight number one, which was using AR and using gamification. It was we could offer bars and restaurants a discount if they would display physical out-of-home signage in their place of business. And the way that you verified that they did that, well, they take a picture. You can actually help to shape how your brand is being positioned inside of those small business establishments with these sorts of digital investments.
An interesting finding that you found is also the post-purchase journey is important in social media. What is that? Is that like inspiring a restaurant owner to say, hey, I'm really excited. I'm working with this brand and here's the results. I mean, what does the post-purchase journey look like? Because we think about social media and it's all about impact. It seems to be fairly top funnel, in the sense of, you don't think about it as something that is part of life cycle marketing in an app, but you've proven that it is.
Well, we'll come back to this point because I think it's really important to understand how the research was conducted. Mm-hmm. But we actually segment out in this study folks who identify themselves as buyers or in a buyer role in their business. Mm-hmm. And we looked at how they answered survey data versus those who say that they are not buyers in their business. And so the way that they approach solving certain tasks actually kind of stands out to us. To come back to the previous point, and it'll be in service of answering your actual question. When we ask a business buyer if you know, something is interesting in an app context, for instance, the ability to join a community of people with similar shopping habits. 69% of people say that those business buyers say that that is interesting. When you contrast that with a non-business buyer at 36%, you see a statistically significant difference between a business buyer prizing a certain kind of interaction versus a non-business buyer. And that means that the way that they likely... Now, I don't know how your screen time report is on your phone. It's probably scary as like mine is because we're all a little bit too digitally saturated these days. But these people depend on digital products to get their job done every day. And I think that this is teased out in the data. You know, the other in that AR/VR point I mentioned before, a business buyer is also almost two times as amenable to using that sort of a feature than a non-business buyer who might see it as a gimmick. But coming back to the post-purchase journey just really has to be clearly placed on creating value for that purchaser. And so I think, you know, for certain, the one of those things that is service experience really bubbles up to the top. You know, reaching customer service in an efficient way and having a direct line of communication to them in a way that doesn't require you to have to go, you know, ice fishing to find how to get information on the status of an order. In particular, something we call WISMO, which is Where Is My Order, accounts for about 60% of all app interactions in post-purchase. So most folks just want an update on that. Some of that can be provided in self-service. Some of that can be provided in context over, you know, especially in the case of, say, a split shipment or an item that might not be in stock that might have to be fulfilled from another distribution center. You know, these are all areas that result in customer service touch points. And those are, you know, as highly prized as probably anything else that you may want to do post-purchase. But you can actually convince your customers to do something that's actually going to help uplift the brand. In particular, you know, what we all probably see these days is a prompt from consumer brands to post a written review. You know, a lot of times that's used in the pre-purchase decision-making part of the journey when you're top of funnel to help convince a new buyer that it's worth purchasing. However, what we find is that bottom of funnel, reinforcing those pieces of UGC or user-generated content and written reviews can also help to encourage repeat purchase to remind you why you're purchasing. In fact, this is not represented in the reports. It's anecdotal here. But what we have found is that there's two really interesting techniques that I think are under-leveraged. Number one is if a customer has written a previous review, to re-display their prior review back to them in their own purchase journey. And that is, it makes them feel like they're a little bit of a star, number one, and that it's exciting. It also reminds them of their prior good experience. And so that is under-leveraged, I think. And certainly when you're talking about the audience we are, which is, you know, the younger generation, a Gen Z purchaser who will grow into a more mature purchasing role at some point in the future, this will help us sort of re-engender those great feelings that are, you know, are post-purchase, but then they reinform the next purchase. The other one is, at least for the direct-to-consumer brands that we have worked with that are making a quick foray or a quick turn into omni-channel, because direct-to-consumer is a bit of a misnomer these days. Omnichannel is how you create a sustainable direct-to-consumer business. What we found is that, you know, replacing, having your customers be able to identify what your brand values are post-purchase and realign those back to the why of what they purchased helps to also encourage repeat purchase. And so, you know, what we've seen is in a B2B purchasing context, reinforcing some of those values, in particular, if you're doing carbon accounting and you understand how much carbon offset that is required to be able to facilitate the purchase. If you have a carbon reduction program, reiterating a bunch of those types of trust builders after the purchase helps to continue to drive loyalty even for B2B and B2B purchasers.
So another interesting finding in your research, Philip, is to understand that although we think it's a very different environment, different privacy landscape, 80% of your respondents in this study are comfortable with the value exchange of personal data, provided they get some value in exchange. So tell me about how marketers, how people making these apps can connect the dots between data, personalization, and value. What does this tell them to do?
Well, there's the short answer is that you have already cleared a bit of a trust hurdle if someone has downloaded an app, as opposed to the anonymous experience of browsing on the web. Also, Peggy, I'm not sure if you've been on a website lately, but we are sort of plagued as marketers with having to understand who our customers are the moment that they arrive. So we have GDPR notices, some of us have shipping delay notices, some of us have, COVID impact notices. Then you have the 10% offer when you sign up. Okay. Onboarding is its own, is its own beast.
Web purchasing. Accept all the cookies and just,
it
I'm
is.
Just like, I'm just like, get me to what I want. I'll sign anything at that point,
At that point,
who knows what I've done with my data?
And that's the challenge, right? Is that it's not even, when you're first becoming initiated with the brand, having to, clear so many hurdles, it can be really daunting as a consumer. By virtue of installing an app, you have already at least signaled one sign of trust that you're willing to give some space on a device that has that carries personal information on it. Beyond that, some of those trust hurdles can also be completed and enabled by some recent innovations, at least on the Apple side. We have tracking transparency that allows people to opt into certain types of engagement. You can also, kind of continue to work anonymously in the short term by having an iCloud address that, is anonymized, allows you to, keep a little bit of personal information, at least in the form of your email address, away from the business on the other side of the app. But what we found is that once a consumer has installed an app, signing up and registering upon installing is a known user pattern that is an accepted user experience pattern that most people who install apps will submit to. And so knowing who your customer is in an app environment actually, tends to favor and self-select those who are willing to give up a little more information. And it does, in that case, they say, we're trading off a little bit in the way of privacy for an enhanced experience, which is what you would get with a native mobile app.
And they're willing to do it. That's the really big news here. I mean, 80% are saying, yeah, you got it. Give me recommendations, give me some benefit, give me some features, and I will shop on your app and I will be here and I'll be part of your audience and opt in. What about the no-goes? Just a quick look at that, because you talk about all the great things I can build into the experience. And this is something not just for B2B marketers. This is for all marketers. This tells me about the gamification, the value exchange, a number of points around social media I need to take care of. What can't I do? Did your research shed any light on that?
Yeah, we have actually at the end of the report in appendix is actually an ordinal list of the things that customers say that they engage in either personally or professionally in a in a repeated fashion. It actually turns out some of the truisms that we like to espouse, especially in consumer, aren't maybe as true as we thought they were. In particular, some of the things that rank quite low are, sharing product videos or, inviting a friend to use the service in exchange for some sort of a reward, participating in some sort of a broader community. These are all things that a customer doesn't really identify with as necessarily being all that valuable to them. However, as we talked about gamification before, it's not that they won't ever participate in this. In many cases, just asking them in isolation, are these valuable to you? They don't see the value at the outset. And that's where I think it's up to the job of the marketer, especially the B2B marketer, to understand how you can make that mutually beneficial both for the brand and for the consumer.
Great points here, Philip. I mean, I'm sure that our audience, they would love to continue the conversation. What's the best place to do it? What's the best way to stay in touch?
Yeah. Well, the first place I'd tell you to go is go to rightpoint.com/solutions. And we'd love to have a conversation with you. I would love to connect directly with your audience too. And I'm Philip Jackson over on LinkedIn. and very active over there, and always willing to have a healthy debate about what is valuable and what is not valuable these days in commerce, because I think it can be incredibly subjective. I think everybody has a little bit of a unique experience. And, these days in particular, because there are so many ways to engage in commerce, I think it takes more of this type of insight and more of these types of hands-on experiences and the type of research we're doing to get a little bit of a clearer picture about the future.
Absolutely. And as you said, shape it, because this is at the center of everything. Mobile is my go-to device for my daily life, for my shopping, for more. And if I'm Gen Z, then I'm mobile focused, I'm mobile first, and it makes sense that it all comes together. And research like yours, that sheds a lot of valuable light on this. I want to thank you for sharing, Philip. Thank you for being here and for bringing such great kit, by the way, as a fellow podcaster. Awesome to have you here on the show.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Peggy.
And of course, if you want to keep up with me throughout the week, find out more about how you can be a guest or sponsor on Mobile Presence, then you can email me, Peggy@mobilegroove.com is where you can find my portfolio of content marketing and app marketing services. You can check out this and all earlier episodes of our show by going to WMR.fm, or you can find our shows on Amazon, iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, Spotify, and iHeartRadio simply by searching Mobile Presence. And you can check out the new video playlist on YouTube starting with this show, where you will find Mobile Presence powered by the Groove, which will be your weekly dose, I would hope, of mobile insights and goodness. So until next time, remember, every minute is mobile, so make every minute count. Keep well, stay safe, and we'll see you soon.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.